Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf, the last daf of the first perek of Masecha Sukkah. We are holding, we got to the top of Chaf Aminof, I think we're going to backtrack to about four lines from the bottom of daf Yud Tes and Beit. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Seymour Gertz and family in memory of Seymour's father, Rav Aryeh Leib ben Rav Eliezer Isaac, Alav HaShalom, whose yahrzeit was yesterday on Yud Zayin Av. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we started the discussion yesterday about whether you're allowed to use mats for schach. And we had the Mishnah, and we're going to have three different explanations of what exactly the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is in the Mishnah. So we saw two of the explanations. We're going to repeat the second one again, and we're going to try to come to an understanding of two of the three explanations that we're going to have, and we're going to come to an understanding of what exactly the machlokas is about. Then the Gemara is going to discuss different types of mats and how it depends on the size or on how it's made to determine whether it can be used for schach, and we're going to define a term called chotzlos and a machlokas, whether they're tamei medrash or they're just tamei mace. These are different types of materials of mats. And the Gemara's on Amud Bey is going to talk about the status of tumas medrash from mats that come from different locations, from different places in the world, where they're apparently made differently and made for different purposes. The Gemara is going to bring a raya whether chotzlos means a shepherd bag or whether it means mats, because apparently it's not so obvious just what the term means. And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the second parak of Masechta Sukkah, and the second parak is going to begin with a discussion of sleeping under a bed in a sukkah, and whether one could be yotzei the mitzvah if they're sleeping underneath a bed, and we'll try to bring a raya from a maisa with Rabbi Gamliel and his eved, whether sleeping under a bed works in a sukkah. So let's again back up to Ella Amar Rava, four lines from the bottom of the page. So the Gemara is trying to explain the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer that we had in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if you have a large mat, if you made it l'shchiva, it's mekabel tuma, and therefore you cannot use it for schach, but you made it l'sikuch, then it's not mekabel tuma, and therefore you can use it for schach. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer said, achas ketana, achas gedola, it doesn't matter if it's large, if it's small, if you made it l'shchiva, it's mekabel tuma, and you cannot be mesachich with it, but if you made it l'sikuch, then you can be mesachich with it, and it's not mekabel tuma. So what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? So Ella Amar Rava, Rava suggests the machlokas is as follows, that the gedola, if the mat is a large mat, then kuli amalo pliki, then both the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer agree that since it's a large mat, it's not usable for a person to lie down on, to stumble a sikuch, that we assume it's made for the purpose of schach, and therefore it's going to be perfectly kosher, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Ki pligi b'katana, the whole machlokas is only by a small mat. So Tanakama sover stam katana l'shchiva, the Tanakama holds that a small mat we presume is made l'shchiva, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, and therefore it is not ra'oi to use for schach, for b'lazer sover stam katana. That even a stump, small mat, we work with the assumption that it's made l'sikuch. V'hachi ka'amar. So here's how to read the Mishnah. Machzelus hakonim gedola. If you have a large mat, asa'a l'shchiva, but you made it dafka to lie down on, so mekabel tumah v'misachim ba. Then it's mekabel tumah, and you can't be misachich with it. When the Tanakama says l'sikuch, he doesn't mean that you made it beferish l'sikuch, but when he goes on to say l'sikuch, it's a hem of what he said originally, what he said at first, which means that it's a diuk. The only reason a large mat is going to be problematic is because you make it you made it l'shchiva. But hastama, but if you make stam, you make a large mat, then we treat it as if you made it explicitly for the purpose of schach, and therefore misachin ba, and therefore you can make schach out of it. So according to this understanding of the Tanakama, Tanakama is talking primarily about, or exclusively about, a large mat. That's where he says that if you made it beferush l'shchiva, it's mekabel tuma, but if you make it bestama, since it's a large mat, it's omed l'sikuch, and it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So we could be medayik from there that a machzelas ketana, even if you don't make it specifically beferush for the purpose of shchiva, we would assume that even bestama, you made it for the purpose of shchiva, and therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma. So it's on that that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Va'aser Rabbi Eliezer the Meimer achas katana v'achas gedola stomach sher l'sikuch. That Rabbi Eliezer says no, even a small mat. We assume that it's stoma l'sikuch, that it's stam goes for schach. So it turns out, according to this explanation of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, everyone agrees what a stam large mat is, that a stam large mat is good for schach because it's not mekabel tuma. Everyone agrees a stam small mat it turns out that everyone agrees that a stam small mat is meant I'm saying it wrong. Okay, I'm getting confused. What's that? Everyone agrees stam large is for schach, and the machlokas is about a stam small mat. Is a stam small mat meant for schach, or is the stam small mat meant for a person to lie down on? So Reb Lazar is saying that even a katana stamos ksher l'sikuch, that even a small mat is stam l'schach, whereas the Tanakhama says that no, a small mat we assume is stam l'shchiva and is therefore not mekabel tuma and not kosher for schach. Good. So Amalei Abaye, Ihachi. So Abaye says, if that's true, that the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Tanakhama is about the small mat, so then we could be medayik from the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achas Ketana v'Achas Gedola. That's really said. That's phrased poorly. It's Achas Gedola v'Achas Ketana mi'bayalei. Normally, when the Tanakhama says whether it be this or whether it be that, Achazu v'Achazu, you say the more obvious thing first, and then you say the chiddush. But if what we're saying is correct, that Rabbi Eliezer should have said Achas Gedola, which is the Dover Pashut, that it's Eino Omid l'shchiva, that it's not meant for shchiva, that it's meant for schach, and then say, and guess what, v'Achas Ketana, that even a small mat is meant for schach. That's the greater chiddush according to Rabbi Eliezer. That even a small mat is not omeid l'shchiva. So that should have been the gears of the Mishnah if this is correct. So that's one problem with Rava, one challenge on Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. V'od, and another problem with Rava's explanation of the Mishnah that it's we're going to see from a brisa that the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Tanakhama is not limited to a small mat. They'll keep that keep ligi. Gedolu de pligi, that the machlokas is in fact about a large mat, v'Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra, and Rabbi Eliezer comes is not coming to be mekel about a small mat, he's coming to be machmir on the Tanakhama. D'tanya, because the Brisa spells it out, it says, machselas hakanin, begedola mesachin ba, if it's a large machselas, then you could be mesachich with it because it's not made l'shchiva, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma, so you could be mesachich with it. Rabbi Eliezer omer, im eina mekabel tuma, mesachin ba. That if it's not mekabel tuma, meaning if you're meyachid it beferish that you want to use it for schach, only then can you use it for schach. But bestama, even a large mat, you're not allowed to be mesachich with it, because even a large mat is omid l'shchiva. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim disagree about a large mat in this brisa, and Rabbi Eliezer is machmir, that even bestama we assume a large mat is mekabel tuma, unless you're beferish miyachid it for the sake of sikuch. And therefore the Gemara explains a third possibility of how to explain the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Ella amar Rav Papa, b'ketana kuliyam lo pligi. If you're dealing with a small mat, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama agree the stumble l'shchiva, that a small mat is meant l'shchiva, it's mekabel tuma, cannot be used for schach, ki pligi begedola. The whole machlokas Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer is only about a large mat. Tanakhama serves stam gedola l'sikuch. The Tanakhama holds that a stam large mat is meant for schach. Rabbi Eliezer sover stam gedola nami l'shchiva, that even a stam large mat is meant for shchiva, and therefore is mekabel tuma. So the Tanakhama will be that the way the Gemara said originally, that kan begedola kan begetana, and the Mishnah means to tell me that a machzelos hakanim gedola, that a large mat, if it's made l'shchiva, is mekabel tuma, and therefore cannot be mesakik with it, but bestama, we assume is not made l'shchiva, and is therefore not mekabel tuma, and can be used for schach. A machzelos ketana, if you make it for sikuch, you can be mesakik with it, and it's not mekabel tuma, but stomach, it's mekabel tuma, it's not kosher for a sikuch. And then Rabbi Eliezer comes to say that a machzelas gedola has the same din of a machzelas katana. In that, bistama, we assume it's made l'shchiva, bistama, we assume it's mekabel tuma, bistama, we cannot allow it to be used for schach. whether it be small, whether it be large, even the large mats b'stama, they're not going to be used for ischach. Umay asa'a l'shchiva d'ka'amar. So then why did he say, Rabbi Elazar say asa'a l'shchiva? So it doesn't mean that you make it b'feirish l'shchiva, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if you make it b'stam, we assume it's l'shchiva. Hachi ka'amar, stam asiyasa nami l'shchiva, when he said asal l'shchiva, he meant that that's the default, that we always assume asal l'shchiva, unless you make it beferish for the sake of sikuch. Tanraban machzela shel shifa v'shel gemi gedolim misachin b'ktana ein misachin ba. If you have machzelas made out of shifa or gemi, different types of materials, of reeds and the like. So if it's large, you could use for schach, and if it's small, then you can't use it for schach, because the machzelos made from shifa and gemi are very soft, and therefore a stam machzelos katana is meant l'shchiva and it's mekabel tuma, because since it's soft, it's a perfectly viable type of material to use for a mat to lie down on, and therefore we have to assume that that's why you produced such a mat. Shel kanim v'shel chilas, but if it's not made of shifa or gemi, but rather it's made of kana or chilas, which is a type of reed or a type of grass or something like that. So they're made from harder types of material. So then gedola, if it's made misachinba, if it's made made as a braided type of material, Rashi seems to assume that gedola over here is not large. Gedola is gedula. It doesn't mean gedol, it means like gedil, that it's made like in a braided type of material. The Maharam writes that gedol is milashim gidulim, that maasei kloim. So again, over here, it's not talking about the size. So it's just talking about how it's woven together. So then, misachkin, but if it's like braided together, then you could use it for a schach, because that's not the type of thing that a person would lie down on. But aruga, if it's woven, where it becomes very smooth, then ein misachkin, but then you cannot be misachkin with it, because if it's much smoother, then it's certainly something that the type of thing that you would lie down on, and that would be used as a mat for a person to lie on, is therefore mekabel tuma. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of his father, achazu va'achazu, whether it's gedula or whether it's aruga, whether it's braided together or whether it's woven together, misachtimba. Either way, you can use it for schach, because these are not the types of materials that you would use if you wanted to make a mat to lie down on. V'cheinoy Rabbi Dosa Omer Kedvarav. And Rabbi Dosa says, just like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, that it doesn't matter whether it's braided or woven, these materials are not viable materials to use for shchiva, and therefore they're kosher to use for schach. So now, in order to understand the next stage of the Gemara, a little bit of a reminder of some of the basics of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. The halacha is that a dead body is Navi Avos HaTumah. Navi Avos HaTumah is Metame Adam V'Kelim, that touch it to become Tame for 7 days. In order to be Metare them, you're going to need Hazaa Shlishi Yushvi. If someone comes in contact with a dead body, and you need the Para Aduma, and you need Hazaa Shlishi Yushvi to get out of that Tumah. That's why, in the absence of Para Aduma, we're all presumed to be Tamei Mesim, because there's no other way out of it. A person who touches a mace is himself an Av HaTumah. The Av HaTumah is able to be Metamei Adam and Kalim that he touches, but only Tumas Erev. So if I was in contact with a mace, I was at a funeral yesterday, so I was in contact with a mace, so I'm an Av HaTumah now, so now Adam and Kalim that I touch become Tamei, but only Tumas Erev. A zav, a person who experiences a flow of ziva, is the same status as someone who touches a mace. It's an av hatumah. It's just that he has an additional form of tumah. Even though it's the same level, it's an av hatumah, a zav could be metame b'medris. If he lies on something that's omid l'shchiva, so the item that he lied on, that he lied down on, is considered an av hatumah, which is also somewhat of an anomaly, right? Normally, when someone's an av hatumah, he transfers tumah to something, that item is a rishon l'tumah, and therefore, if someone touched the mace, and therefore that person is an av hatumah, when he touches kelim, those kelim become a rishon l'tumah, which is only tameh tumah. Tumas Erev. However, a Zav, who himself is an Avatuma, since he has this additional level of Tumah called, this additional form of Tumah called Tumas Medris is not viewed as a Tumah that is transferred. It's like a Tumah Yotze Lav Migufo. It's like the brand new source of Tumah. That the Medris itself, the mat that he lied on, the chair that he sat on, that itself becomes an Avatuma like the Zav himself. But if a Zav sits, lies down on something that's not Omid the Shriva, that's not meant to be lied down on, then it does not contract Tumas Medrash. So it's not about contact, it's about the right type of contact. Now, wood is not Mekabel Tumah unless it's a Kli. If you have Pshute Kliyetz, you have just a flat piece of wood, it's not Mekabel Tumah. It needs to have a base Kibul. But if you are Miyachid wood, L'Shchiva, so then it's like a Kli that's meant for Shchiva, and it could become Tameh with all the different types of Tumah, even B'Tumas Medrash. So if a person makes a piece of wood and turns it into a Kli, meaning he makes a base Kibul on it, it becomes Tameh with all of the Tumas except for Tumas Medrash, because it's not only L'Shchiva if it has a base kibul, but if it's Amid L'Shriva, then it would be Tamid Tumas Medrash. Now, based on that, so now the Gemara explains the Shita of Rabbi Dosa. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us, Kol HaChotzalos, and we're going to have to explain what the word Chotzalos is. The Gemara is going to spend a reasonable amount of time trying to figure out just what the term means. Kol HaChotzalos, Mitamin Tamei Meis. The halacha is, they're roughly to be mekabel Tumas Meis, meaning they can become an Av HaTuma if they come in contact with the Meis. But not from Medrash HaZav. They cannot become an Av HaTuma by a Zav lying down on them. Divrei Rabbi Dosa. That's the sheet of Rabbi Dosa. So essentially, according to Rabbi Dosa, whatever these things are, these Chotzalos are, they're a Kli to be mekabel Tumas Meis, but they are not Omid the Shriva. They're not meant as something that's meant to be lied down on, and therefore they cannot become Tamei Tumas Medrash. They're only Mitamei Tumas Meis. The Chacham Omrim and the Chacham say they're right to become an Avatumi even with Medrash, even by Medrash Hazav. So it sounds like, according to the Chachamim, they're only Mitamei Tumas Medrash. So it says, wait a second, they're only Mitamei Tumas Medrash? Medrash in Tamei Meis Lo? Is that possible? That they're only susceptible to Tumas Medrash, but they're not at all susceptible to Tumas Meis? But doesn't the Mishnah tell us that anything that's right to be mekabel Tumas Medrash, meaning what's the qualification between mitamei Tumas Medrash? It's got to be something that's omid l'shchiva, which means that it's a kli. If it's omid l'shchiva, that's already a kli, and kelim are mitamei Tumas Meis. So since it's omid l'shchiva, it's a kli. It's right to be mekabel all Tumas. So you can't say that it's only mitamei Tumas Medrash. Same af Medrash. No. What the Chacham meant to say is not only is it mekabel Tumas Meis, it's also mekabel Tumas Medrash. So essentially, what we have so far is we don't know what chotzalos are, but we have when you have this item chotzalos, Rabbi Dosa says it's mekabel Tumas Meis, but not Tumas Medrash, and the Chacham say no, it's even mekabel Tumas Medrash. So now the million dollar question: my chotzalos, what exactly are these chotzalos that they're having this machlokas about? So I'm Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri Marzovli. So it's Marzovli. So it says, my Marzovli, what in the world are Marzovli? That doesn't help me. So I'm Rav Yabba Mizabli. It's a certain type of sack that's made out of leather that the shepherd would use to bring food to the animals. And since sometimes the shepherd will put it under his head, will put the sack under his head and use it as a pillow to lie down on, so the Chum assume that it has a din of a kli that's also the Shriva, and therefore it's Metame Tumas Medrash as well. Rabbi Dosa would obviously disagree, does not think that it's Tamei Tumas Medrash. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Machzalos Mamish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, Chotzalos are Machzalos, that means mats. Why do you call them Chotzalos? Why not call them Machzalos? Because we're talking about smaller types of Machzalos that are not Omei L'Shchiva, and therefore, that's why Rabbi Dosa is not Metamei Tumas Medrash. But regular Machzalos, even Rabbi Dosa would agree that it's Mekabel Tumas. That's what the Sfasemis points out, that if it really meant Machzalos, why not use the word? There's a perfectly good word we've been using the whole time to describe mats. So use the word machzalos. Now, elamai, these must be a uniquely shaped mat that for whatever reason Rabbi Dosa is not going to agree that it's also the Medrash, that it's also the Shechiva, and therefore it's not going to be Tamei Tumas Medrash according to Rabbi Dosa. When Reish Lakish says that it means Machsalos, this is Reish Lakish Lishitaso. Da'am Reish Lakish Hareini Kaparis Rabbi Chiyo Banav. He says that the Yisurim that I've suffered should be for the benefit of Rabbi Chiyo Ubanav. That's how Rashi explains that. It's a way of speaking B'derech Kavod. When you mention your father's name or your Rebbe's name after they die, so you say Hareini Kaparis Mishkava, right? That person mentions someone else, he says Zichron Levrach, or after the first year, after the father's gone, you say Zichron Levrach, but up until then, you say Hareini Kaparis Mishkava. And the Hagos of Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that even though the Gemara says that only B'toch Yud Beis Chodesh you say that, and Reish Lakish lived way later after Rabbi Chiya, but nevertheless, as a way of Chiba Yaseira, he would say it even way later. I mean, the halacha is by a father, one only says Hareini Kaparis Mishkava. It's a whole discussion in Achronim. What does that mean exactly, Hareini Kaparis Mishkava? Do you get to really make that choice? Meaning, do you get to say that I'm going to suffer for somebody else's averos? Does Kodesh Baruch Hu listen to that when we decide that I would like to suffer for that person's averos, so that person is does not have to suffer? Can a person transfer onesh? Can a person transfer gehenim that goes for one person to another? But whatever it is, we at least say it b'derech kavod. At the very least, it seems to be a nice way of speaking. Ki'ilu, you're saying, I would want that my suffering should be a kapara for these people because I have such reverence and love for these people. So that's what Reish Lakish is saying. Hareini kaparas Rabbi Chiyo Banav. Shebetchila, why is he so awed by Rabbi Chiyo Banav? Shebetchila, kedeshach l'tarim Yisrael, initially when the Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Ezra, Allah, Ezra mibavel v'yista. Ezra came and was machzir the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Then chazor v'nishtachla, then it was forgotten again in the times of Hillel. So Rashi points out, it doesn't mean it was entirely forgotten. It means, like the Gemara Pesachim, some above says, that there were many, many halachos that were forgotten. So Allah, Hillel Abavli v'yista. So Hillel Abavli, it comes up in Pesachim because we talk about how to bring the knife of the to do the Shechita of the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. We're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So this was one of those halachos that were forgotten. So we mentioned this whole idea that it was forgotten again in the days of Hillel. So Hillel Bavli came and was miyasidan. In Bavel there was a yeshiva from the days that Yechanya was nigla to Bavel and the Cheresh by Miskar Imo, and therefore Hillel Bavli was able to be miyasid these halachos. Chazur bin Shtachla, and then it was forgotten again. Alu Rabbi Chiya Ubanav Yistua. Then Rabbi Chiya Ubanav came and brought back the Torah. So since they are the ones that were machzir the Torah, so they're the ones that are the most authoritative. So that's why Reish Lakish says, Hareini Kaparis Rabbi Chiya Ubanav, V'cheinam Rabbi Chiya Ubanav. And this is what Rabbi Chiya Ubanav said. I mean, now that I've given you that introduction of the importance of Rabbi Chiya Ubanav in ensuring the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, that they tied it as follows, that Lo Nechlug Rabbi Dos V'chamim Al Machzolo Shel Usha, that there is no machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim about the machsalos of Usha Shehim Tameos, that they have Tameh even B'tumas Medris, because they're made certainly to lie down on. The whole machlokas is Vishal Tveria Shehim Tahoros. And they also all agree that the machsalos, the mats made in Tveria, are Tahoros, because these are very hard mats and they're not something that a person would find comfortable at all to lie down on. Almanech Lukuel Sharmakomos. The whole machlokas, Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim, are the mats made everywhere else but Usha and Tveria. So Mar Savakivin the Lekha the Yasuf Alayu, that Rabbi Dosa says, since most people do not sit on them, it's very Damian. They're like the machzalos that they make in Tveria, and they're tar from Tumas Medrash. Umar Savar Kivin to Mikri V'Yasvi Alayu Kedusha Damian. Whereas the Rabbanan who disagree say that since every once in a while a person will be miyachi them for yeshiva, will decide to sit on them. So then, therefore, they're like the mats of Usha and their Tameh, Tumas Medrash. So we had said in the Mishnah, according to we had said that the way Reish Lakish understands machzalos, even if they're not omid the shchiva, but they still have a shem kli in the Merkabel Tumas Meis. And now we ask from that Mishnah on the Brisa that we had quoted previously in the Gemara. Amr Mar. So what did we say in the Mishnah? Kala chotzos metamim tamim meis divrei Rabbi Dosa. That all chotzos are metamim tumas meis according to Rabbi Dosa. But va'atanya, but didn't the Brisa say v'cheino yer Rabbi Dosa omer kedvarav? That Rabbi Dosa agreed to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to be mesakech with machzalos. So the machzalos apparently are considered a kli and are right to be mekabel tumas. So if that's the case, how can you use them for schach? Isn't that a stira? The Mishnah tells us that all chotzos are metamim tumas meis, and that which means that they're a kli. And then Rabbi Dosa says, oh, but you're allowed to be like that. I hold like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to be mesakech machzalos. That means it's not considered a kli. Says the Gemara, lo kasha. Had isle gadanfa, had the lesle gadanfa. That the Mishnah is talking about a type of mat that has a rim around the edge of the mat to be mekabel whatever is inside of it, and it's made to put peiros inside of it, and therefore it's considered a kli, and it's right to be mekabel tuma. If it's right to be mekabel tuma, then you certainly cannot be misakich. You cannot be misakich with it. Whereas the Brice is talking about a machzelas that doesn't have such an edge as such a rim around it, and since it doesn't have a base kibel, it's also not meant l'shchiva according to Rabbi Dosa, so it's not a kli at all. It's not a kli with a base kibul. It's not a kli that's meant to be lied down on. So then you're allowed to be mesakich with it. So the Gemara asks, according to Reish Lakish, that chotzlos means machzalos, so meisve chotzolos shel sham v'shal gemi v'shal sa v'shal safira. All of these different types of mats made of all of these different types of material. Sak is like goat hair, and safira is horse hair. Gemi is reeds from the river. So all of these different types of mats. Metami to me meisiv Rabbi Dosa v'chom momrim af medris. That Rabbi Dosa says it's metami only to mesmeis, not to mesmedris, and the Chum says it's metami even to mesmedris. So the Gemara says from this price we could prove that what chotzalos means. So bishlam mandiyam marzuvle. I understand very well if you say that chotzalos are marzuvle, are the bag that the shepherd puts the peiros in, and he sometimes puts it underneath his head when he needs to take a nap. So I understand the price is telling me that chotzalos, according to Rabbi Dosa, are considered a kli, and they're tamei tumas meis because you put peiros in them, meaning it's the type of thing that you would put food inside of. So that's a regular kli. Shel sham v'shel gemi, and if it's made out of sham or gemi, even though it's not woven nicely and it has holes in it, but chazul l'kinta. At least you could put large peiros in it. It may have little holes, so you may not want to put tiny little beans or something like that in it because they'll fall out. But at least larger peiros, it could hold watermelons or whatever it is. Shal sak v'shal safira, and if it's made of sak or safira where it's woven very nicely, then for sure it's mekabel tuma. Because chazul gul kivitzani, you could use it even for kelim that you could use it as kelim that you would put even beans and very tiny peiros inside of it. El mani machzalos mamish, but if you hold that chotzalos means machzalos, it means mats. Mats don't have a base kibul. And nevertheless, Bryce says that even though they're not omid l'shchiva, according to Rabbi Dosa, they're still a kli. Well, bishlam mishal sak mishal sfira. I get why if it's made out of sak or sfira, it would be considered a kli, because chazal l'prasi. You could at least use it as like a window shade. You could use it as something like that. It has some sort of usage as a kli. Ulinaf vasa, or there you could use it to sift flour through. El shal sham mishal gemi b'may chazal. But if it's not a kli, then it's just a mat, it's just a flat mat, and it's got all these holes in it. So what could you use it for if it's made out of sham or gemi? In what type of kli that's right to be mekabel tuma could be useful for it? So apparently it cannot be used for to be poris avila. It cannot be used to spread as a window shade, right? It can't be used for anything. So answers the Gemara that we could say that chatzalos are machzalos mamish, and nevertheless shal sham v'shal gemi are usable because chazu linazya asa. They could be used to cover a barrel of beer, and that level they're useful. Or another way the Gemara, another version of the Gemara's challenge, the Gemara's question, ikadami bishlam imanya machzalos mamish. I understand very well if you say machzalos mamish, I understand why they're tamei, because shal sham v'shal gemi, if you're going to make it out of sham and gemi, chazul naz yasa. So according to this version, that we already understood at the outset, that it could be used to cover up a beer barrel. Shal sak v'shal svira, and if it's made out of sak or svira, chazul parsi. V'navasa, you could use it either as drapes, or you could use it to sift flour through. El mandiyam or marzovli, but if you say that it means the shepherd's bag, bishlam shal sak v'shal svira, chazul kukivitzani, I understand if it's made out of sak or svira, you could use it has no holes in it, so you could use for very tiny things like beans and things like that. El Shalsham Vishal Gamil May Chazu. The way the Gemara has in this Lashon, we don't understand if it's a bag, how can a bag with holes in it be at all useful? And that's what the Gemara says, no, Chazu Kinsin Tepivi. Like we said in the first Lashon, just in the first Lashon we thought it was a Dover Pashon, it takes the Gemara a while to get there. In the second Lashon, you use it for big payros. The big payros aren't going to fall through these bags. Another brisa about machzalas. Tanya, Amr b'Chanani, kashiradi legola. When I went down to Chutz Laaretz, Rabbi Chananya went down to Chutz Laaretz to be ma'aber the shanim. The Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel says that he would be ma'aber shanim in Chutz Laaretz. So matzasi zaken echad va'amr li misakin bevudya. He says I saw a zaken echad and he told me that we're allowed to be misakin with a budya. Budya is a type of mat. So Shabbos Yisrael Bishua Achi Abba Hodol Dvarav. Then when I came to my uncle Rabbi Yeshua, he agreed that you could use a mat for a schach. So Amar Rav Chisla Vuhu Delasei Kadanfa. The fact that the Bryce says you're allowed to use a mat for schach is only if there's no rim around the edge, and therefore it's not considered a kli. But if it has some sort of rim around the edge, then it's mekabel tuma, and then you're not allowed to use it for schach. And another halacha, a final halacha. Amar Ula Hani Budyasa De Bnei Machoza, the mats of the Bnei Machoza. Il Malik Kirshalhan, if not for the fact that they had a rim around the edge of them, of the mats, Misakhimbu, you would have been able to be Misakhik with them. But by saying that, what you're saying is you can't be Misakhik with them because they have this edge, or this rim around the edge, they're Makabal to them, and therefore they're not able to be used for Schach. You can be misachik with a budya, but if they have some sort of rim around the edge, then you're not allowed to be misachik with them. So that's exactly what Ula tried to say. So Hadron Lachsukah, that is the conclusion of the first parak of Masech HaSukah. Now there is a fascinating discussion in the Tshuva of Marshan, Chelek Aleph Sim Reish Tezvav, where he was asked about in the base Ginzei HaMelech that was located in his city. They kept a lot of very valuable things and from all over the place. I mean, they had a museum and included in the museum they had really old mummies. And they were behind a glass display. And there was a poseach tefach that was between the mummified body and the glass. So they're put on the bottom floor. These mummies were kept on the bottom floor of the palace in an inner room, and the doors were all locked constantly. So anyone who goes there, goes through that Pesach, he has to go through a second set of doors, and the doors are never opened at the same time. So he wanted to know, can Kohanim walk into the building on the lower level where the mummies are, where he's not going to be mamish in the same room? So that was the Shaila. So Marsham discusses that it could be that a kisui zuchuchis, that the glass covering that are on the mummies, it's chotzis b'fnei tumah, and it prevents the tumah from going throughout the entire room, because you don't have sof tumah latzis. Sof tumah latzis means that eventually where the tumah is going to go, we view it as if it's already there. But over here, these are meant to be kept in these cases, l'dori doros. But al pi dine mechitza b'tumah, the zuchuchis cannot be chotzis b'fnei tumah unless it itself is not mekabel tumah. But if it itself is mekabel tumah, then it's not. So that's what the Marsham says. The real Shaila is, what is the status of a glass display case? Is a glass display case something that itself is Mekabel Tumah, or do we view it as something that's not Mekabel Tumah? So Marsham says that he believes it's not Mekabel Tumah based on our sugya. That we talk about these different machzalos from different made of different minim, whether they're Mekabel Tumah and you can be Mesachik with them or not. And Tosus in Dibra Maskul Chazian and Dibra Maskul Mesachin explains that a machzalos that's made for only a kisui is not made to be Mekabel anything, it doesn't have base kibul, is not Mekabel Tumah because it's not considered a kli. Like the Mishnah says in the 16th part of Mesachus Kalim, as far as kli or and kli eight, that if it's made litik, it's tamay, lichipui, it's tahar. If it's made to contain something, it's tamay, but if it's made just to cover something, then it's tahar. So an or that's a chipui lekalim is going to be tahar, because chipui lekalim are not considered to be tamayim. So that's what the Marsham tries to suggest in the Tshuva, that if the whole purpose of the glass is not to contain, but to cover, to block, then it's not going to be considered something that's mekabel tumah. If it's not mekabel tumah, it's chotzis b'fnei tumah, and he thought that there's room to be mekel in those cases. These shilas of mummies and other types of museums that have all sorts of things in them. These are complicated shaylos. You need someone who really understands the halachas of Tumen Tahara to know. You get all these questions about the 9/11 museum and the 9/11 memorial and things like that, where there are where there may or may not be bodies that are in close proximity to where visitors go. So anyway, so now we begin the second parak of Masechta Sukkah. We're going to discuss the dinim of yeshiva. So in the first parak we discussed the size of a sukkah, what counts as a mechitza, what counts as schach. Now we're going to discuss how to sit in the sukkah, and if you have a sukkah that's puzzled because of the defunos, because of the place that it's staying. We're also going to discuss when a person is potter from yeshiva b'sukkah, and when a person is obligated to be eating in the sukkah, what types of foods a person needs to eat in the sukkah. Meaning essentially, that once we discuss, first part discuss what a sukkah is, now we're going to discuss how to use it. Right, so the first parak is what is a sukkah. Second parak is how does one properly utilize a sukkah. So says the Mishnah, Hayashin tachsamita. If a person sleeps underneath a bed which is 10 tefachim high, the sukkah lo yotzi yedei chavasar. He's not yotzi his chiyuv, because the mita is considered an ohel that's mafsik between him and the sukkah. So it turned out that he wasn't sleeping in the tzel sukkah. He was sleeping only in the tzel of the bed, which is not the tzel sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanna Kamma. He yells that someone sleeps under a sukkah is yotze. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I says, I'll bring you a raya that you're incorrect. He said, we used to have the practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in front of the zakenim. They never told us that we got to get out from under the bed, that we're not yotzei archiyuv. It must be that the zakenim disagree with the Tanakama, and they hold that a mita is not considered an ohel that's mafsik between you and the schach, and it's perfectly fine to sleep under a bed in the sukkah. So we have machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda whether sleeping under a bed is okay or not. So now the Mishnah brings a Maisa where we're going to prove that someone who sleeps under a bed in the sukkah is not yotzei, meaning that the Tanakama is correct, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Rabbi Shimon, Maisa, the Tavi Avdo Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon reports that one time Tavi, the servant of Ram Gamliel, Shay Yashin Tachsamita, was sleeping under the bed in Ram Gamliel's sukkah. Vamlin Ram Gamliel Zakanim, Ram Gamliel said to the Zakanim, Reason Tavi Avdi, do you see my servant Tavi? Shahu Talmud Chacham, Yodea Shavad Batrumin Asukkah. Look at the way he's under the bed. He must realize that that he must be such a Talmud Chacham that he realizes that since he's in Eved, he's Patam from sukkah, so he's Dafka being Yoshiv in the sukkah in a way that you wouldn't be Yotzi anyway, because yeshiva b'sukkah is a mitzvah shazman grama, and Nebuchadnezzar is potter from mitzvah shazman grama. We learn lo lami isha, that whatever an isha is chayiv in, an eved is chayiv in, whatever an isha is potter from, an eved is potter from. So the eved is potter from mitzvah shazman grama. So because he doesn't want to be dochik the chachamim, Tosas explains, he doesn't want to get the chachamim out of the way and take up space that could otherwise be utilized by chachamim. So he's dafka sitting in a place where the chachamim can't sit, where it's not going to be useful for the chachamim. That's why he chose to go under the bed. The fact that he doesn't go into the house to go to sleep is because he wants to hear the Divrei Torah that the Chachamim are saying. That's what Tosfos points out. Meaning, if he really was put from sukkah and he had no reason to be there, so what are you doing there? Just go back in and go inside. What do you need to be under a bed in the sukkah? So from Ram Gamliel's comment, you see that Ram Gamliel holds that if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah, that the Tanakam is correct, that you're not Yotzei D'Chiyuv, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that one is Yotzei D'Chiyuv. So says Gemara, Valaka Asara, but wait a second. According to the Tanakama, you're not allowed to sleep under a bed in the sukkah because it's an ohel that's mafsik, but the stam mita is not 10 tefachim tall, so it's not considered a real ohel to be mafsik, l'chora, unless it were 10 tefachim tall. So says Gemara, Tirgum HaShmuel, b'mita Asara. Who says, maybe our Mishnah is talking about Dafka, we make it with Kimta, the Mishnah is talking about Dafka, an ohel that is 10 tefachim tall, and therefore it's considered an ohel to be mafsik between him and the schach. So if you sleep underneath it, you're not yotzei, you're chiyuv. There is a fascinating discussion in the poskim. If you have a lot of people that need to fit into a small sukkah, can you make a bunk bed in the sukkah? Shulchan Aruch says that eitzim ayotzim may arba rashi amita, from the four corners of the bed, you're not allowed to be pori sadin and sleep underneath it, even if it's not kavua, sorry, because it's kavua. So it has a din of oel. So even though we just made an akimta the Gemara that it's only an oel if it's 10 tefachim high, but we paskin that anything that's kavua has a din as if it's 10 tefachim. So in the Tshuva's Kinyan Torah, in Chelek Hei, Simon Aleph, he writes that the same is true when it comes to a bunk bed, that since the top bed is kavua, it's very strongly attached to the bottom bed, so therefore it's made in a way that when you sleep on the bottom bed, it has a chashivas of an oval, even if there aren't 10 tefachim between one and the other, and someone who sleeps there is not yotzei his chiv. However, most poskim assume that even a bunk bed, we could be done whether it has a din of yashan tachas amita, and maybe that's the same din of yashan tachas amita, and if it's less than 10 tefachim, it would be okay, because maybe you can't consider an oel kavua for the bottom bed, because the ikur mita aliona is made not for being an oel on the bottom bed. In fact, most people on the bottom bunk are not so thrilled that there's someone directly on top of them and that there's a bed on top of them. Elamai, because the space constraints, there has to be. So what's the purpose of the top bunk? The purpose of the top bunk is for someone to be on top of the top bunk. If someone were to bring a bed into the sukkah to sleep underneath it, So would it be also to sleep under a bed since it was made for an oel? Certainly you wouldn't say that. A mita is not an oel. A mita is meant to stay on top of. You know, also in Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Rav Azman, Chelek Zayin, Siman Lamed Vav, is mechalek according to the, based on the reasons Rishonim give for the psul of Yashan Tachas Amita, which we're not going to have time to get into right now, but the Shevet Alevi, in the end of the day, is matir, that he thought that the psul is, that it would not be a problem to sleep under a bunk bed in the sukkah, provided that it's not 10 tefachim high off of the bottom bunk. Okay, we'll stop there, but Hashem will pick up in the Gemara on the bottom of Chaf and Beis tomorrow. Good day, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Zygazons.